Welcome to the Lost Stop podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. Day 6, and in the early hours at 3:27 a.m, Robin Gimperla, cap number 1, rolled into Girona to become the first rider to win the Trans-Pyrenees race and the Transcontinental race in the same year. Having led from day 1 and being first to arrive at every control point, it's been a phenomenal ride and a testament to pure pace and good planning. The team in Control Car 2 were there to welcome Robin over the finish line.
I was quite hard though, I have to admit.
Yeah,
of course, I compared it all the time with TCR. Yeah. And there it was, from second one, it was all clear what it was about. And here it was not so clear.
Yeah.
Of course, like, I noticed that would be nice. But then again, like, if you feel bad, you can also say, yeah, maybe not. So this made it a nice challenge. And then I also had to tell myself, like, I should maybe enjoy where I am a bit, which I then did. So let's say the last 2 days were really cool. Yeah. Anatol seems to be strong. I mean, I expected him to be fast as well, but I didn't think he would be so fast. Maybe I have to get used to it after this, yeah, this season. It's been a great year, actually.
Further back on the Ray Parkour, our riders have experienced a night of dreadful weather and conditions aren't much better in daylight. Race reporter Tom Probert.
Day 6 here on TPR and we're in the town of Luz-Saint-Sauveur, which is kind of like the gateway to the Tourmalet, and it's where a lot of riders will be stopping just before taking on that big climb to resupply and get mentally prepared. The weather has really taken a turn for the worse here. It's pouring down with rain, which is going to make what is a difficult climb anyway significantly harder, and the visibility up there is going to be very, very minimal. It's going to make the road surface slippery and greasy as well. So practically speaking, it's going to be a consideration. And then also just mentally, the rain for a prolonged period of time like this where it's really set in could be the difference between carrying on and scratching for riders that are kind of on the edge of that decision anyway. We've just come into one of the many cafes in the town. It's quite prominently in the main square, and the terrace outside completely deserted, of course, all the tables looking very wet. And I've just seen Juan Miri coming across the square here, probably looking for a coffee, so we reckon this is a good place to catch riders.
I'm not going for a ride under the rain, it's just to go on top of the Tourmalet and then the Orchid d'Ancisson that I'm waiting to see it because it's my favorite call here in the Pyrenees. So with the cows and the horses and the rocks all around it, it's very, very, very nice. The greenery there is very nice. And after doing l'Orchid d'Ancisson, I will try to make some decisions. In Bagnères de Luchon, I can go to Spain or I can keep on doing the parkour. I don't know, I will check. I am not young as Robin that I saw tonight that he won, he arrived. And lots of kids that I cross, they have a lot of energy and that is great. But me, now I'm thinking of going back home and seeing my girls. I have 2 kids. Yeah. And that is more important.
It's making it hard to find the motivation to continue.
I love doing this. It's really, I really love it. Sorry, I am a bit emotional. But it is very beautiful. Yesterday, in the descent of the Marie Blanche, I started crying because it was so beautiful, so beautiful. But at the same time, I'm 47, I work a lot. It's not necessary to make this great effort to finish the race. There is like this kind of thing of finishing the race, to arrive to the finish. No, I enjoy and after 45, I think that you have to enjoy what you do and not necessarily make yourself suffer.
Tom speaks to Matt Brady, Cap 19.
You enjoying the rain?
It's not actually that bad. It sounds worse than it looks. I think I was asleep in some empty fountain last night, but it had a roof over the top of it. So I was like, is it going to start filling up because it's raining? Or is it permanently dry or what?
What do you mean by an empty fountain?
I think it was. It was in a park, and it was a big sort of U-shaped sort of stone structure with that obviously got fed into by something, but it must have been switched off or broken or whatever. But I thought if it starts raining, perhaps it just fills up with the rain. Anyway, it didn't.
What made you choose the abandoned fountain?
It was about 15 seconds before it started to rain.
Oh,
and it had a roof.
Okay. That's the important feature, isn't it? The roof.
Shit. Yeah, it was the roof.
Graham Stewart, Cap 28.
You've got three cups of coffee here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite funny. The guy laid them out as if there were three people here.
Yeah.
But no.
Have you done TPR before?
Yeah, I did it in 2022 and took a stupid route. So I went up the Murray Blanc for some reason on the way out.
So you've done this raid parkour the opposite way round before. So pretty much all of these climbs from the other direction.
Well, it's all like stitching it all together, because I did some of the Arati stuff before, and I've done the Murray Blanc and some other bits and pieces probably, but maybe different roads. I went up the Portelet last time, but I didn't do that this time. And when I quit last time, it was just before Bagnères de Luchon, so I didn't get to do these.
So it sounds like you're not getting bored going up the same cols.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as being bored. you get sort of a bit annoyed sometimes. You think, oh, God, you know, I've got X amount of K to go. And it just really ticks along slowly. That's a frustrating thing. But you just have to keep telling yourself that the other side of it is going to be really quick. I mean, at least it's really raining at the moment, so it's so wet, it's just going to wash everything off. The bike's literally got a good clean this morning so far.
What a great positive spin to put on it.
Yeah, there's that. It won't be like that later when it starts to dry out, though, because that's when it all sort of gets stuck to your bike again.
Back in Girona, and at 8:43 a.m, the second rider to cross the finish line is Anatole Naimi, Cap 44. Anatole pushed Robin for almost 2,000 kilometres and rode an exceptional race.
Congratulations, man.
I mean, I don't want to sleep. And then every 5 minutes, I was just sitting there, sleeping 5 minutes with my phone. Okay, now I have to go. I was like, just why? And I don't know. I couldn't even stay on my bike anymore.
Well, you don't have to now.
Yes.
Yeah. So my track you can finally get off. Forget.
One of the challenges of riding ultra races lies in choosing the right kit to bring. It's hard to pack for every eventuality, but the reality is that once the weather turns, things can change pretty quickly. Physically and mentally, everything becomes even more difficult than it already was. Tom is still on the Raid Parkour, where he speaks to Sophia Atwood-Appley, Cap 63.
Last night, the conditions on the Orbis going over last night were pretty bonkers, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got all these layers, and I was like, if I had any less, this would be a survival situation. So I got up to the top, then it started chucking it down. And it was like, you know, that kind of rain where the rain is going down the descent in rivers. And so I'd put everything on. I had some disposable hand warmers, but obviously because it was so wet, my gloves soaked through and then they didn't work. So I stopped in the tunnel of the Orbisque to put my other gloves on and put my waterproof socks on and then got down. But then it was super foggy on the Salor, yeah, on the descent. So it took ages. And I'd booked a hotel in Luz, the town before the Tourmalet, and it was such a slog to get there because I was so sleepy and I was like, just you can't really stop because it's too cold. And I was thinking, like, the longer I faff about, the longer it's going to take me to get to the hotel. But I was also in just like total mega faff mode because I was cold and wet and sleepy. So finally got there, but the hotel was like totally rubbish. There was a power cut, so there was, you couldn't charge anything. And there was no way to dry anything either. So I just had to put all my wet stuff back on this morning, which is super gross. But I did think, right, I'd rather be wet and clean than wet and stinky. So I did wash all my wet stuff. So at least I feel fresh in that regard.
Tackling the Tourmalet in soggy weather is Gregory Garcia, Cap 100.
Riding all night?
That was the plan. I was good going for it. And the rain started, invited itself to the party. So we have had full package now.
Yeah.
We came for a challenge, yeah. And there it is, full package.
So the rain is really affecting the experience.
It's part of the game, but you know, it's part of the game. But yeah, it does bring more challenge.
Okay, so your spirits aren't too dampened by the rain. You're still determined to carry on.
Yeah, of course, crunching is not a question. It has been the second day, but since then it's not. Yeah.
You
are organizing a race full of soul and spirit, and we came here for the spirit, so we have to honor it. So no scratching. I won't scratch. The key point is, will I arrive on time on Saturday?
Another rider on the Tourmalet is TPR veteran Byron Buck, Cap 24.
Is this how you pictured going over the Tourmalet?
This is the fourth time I've done it, so in some ways this is kind of fun because I've now experienced it in all, like, done it in the dark. I've done it first light when it was amazing. Done it with my mates in spring, and now I've done it in the rain and cold. So
you've completed the whole set.
Yeah. So I'm never coming back.
650k. You seem it in good spirits.
Yeah, so I think there's a good sort of gallows humour amongst the riders at the moment, so yeah, that helps. I think I've given up any ambition of, like, you know, sort of target time of when I wanted to finish, so it's just rolling on Saturday probably now, if I can. I think that's doable though.
So the new target is just
finisher's party.
Before the party.
It's, you know, we're here for an adventure, not just to smash ourselves, like, not like the guys at the front who can just...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how to do it, so, you know.
Lunchtime on day 6 at TPR, and the final podium position goes to Manuel Rudaz, who completes the finish parkour and joins Robin and Anatole as the first three riders home. Back on the Ray Parkour, Hannah Larbalessier, race director.
So in control car one, we've spent the morning on the Col de Tourmalet, which is the highest point of the Ray Parkour, and really feels like that hump of the race that everyone is trying to get over. And while it's not all downhill from here, it's definitely, it's a significant moment. And I think it, to the riders, it feels like they're on their way, on their home straight back towards the finish, even though they're still around 600k to go. It's been really quite brutal conditions up here today. There's a lot of rain. It was pouring down earlier and it seems to have eased up a bit, but everyone is pretty soaked through and seem to be taking it in their stride, at least from what Tom tells me. And I think with the weather like this, you know, if you can keep riding through it and realise that your legs are going to keep turning, then it just shows that you can kind of keep going through any weather. And you know, it's this weather's only forecast for today, and everyone's looking ahead to the next few days, and it looks like it will brighten up. So if they can get through this, hopefully it'll give them a bit of confidence that they can get to that finish line in time for the party.
Pierre Vincent Benvenuto, Cap 87.
A lot of the riders that I've spoken to this morning have started to think about the finish and how far it is to the finish. So they're kind of counting down the kilometres.
Yeah.
Are you doing that too?
Yeah, I'm doing that, of course. I want to finish Saturday, so I'm not rushing, not pushing myself over the limit. It's very important for me. So, yeah, for today, maybe 200 kilometers. It will be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Are you enjoying the rhythm of kind of doing col after col?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yesterday I did 6,000 elevation. I think it's the first time for me.
While experienced riders Fiona Kolbinger and Molly Weaver remain the two fastest women in the race, Esther Lloyd, Cap 68, is relatively new to ultra racing and is riding an impressive, dogged race.
When I spoke to you at registration, you were saying, you know, how you're quite new to cycling, you haven't been doing it for very long, you feel like the rookie.
I am the rookie.
Do you feel any different now, having got to this point?
No.
No.
I feel more and more rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think I'd make it to control point 4. And so, like, I sort of gave up my route planning a little bit after that. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's basically col after col. So I didn't really do too much research. And now I'm still going. I don't know how. I keep on leaving my bike outside supermarkets unattended, hoping it would just get stolen, and then I have an excuse.
And you're disappointed when it's still there.
Yeah, my garment's still there. I'm like, how? People are so nice. I'm in, you know, the stages of, like, grief and stuff. I'm at the anger stage. I'm so angry at everything. I'm angry that the French know how to make 10% gradients that go on for 10Ks. Just really consistently. I'm angry at those people. I'm angry at e-bikes. I'm angry at disc brakes. I'm just so angry at everything. I'm angry at Garmin. Everything just is annoying. Oh, I'm angry I don't know what country I'm in half the time. And the thing I'm really angry about, I'm angry at how good this route is. Because every time I do want to scratch, I'm like, oh, I'll keep on going. And then it becomes beautiful again. I'm like, damn it. It's just so annoying.
Preparation is everything at the Trans-Pyrenees race. And today's conditions are really testing our riders' limits. The stunning scenery and jaw-dropping landscapes make things somewhat bearable, along with the knowledge that somewhere, at some point, you're likely to find that McDonald's that everyone stops at. Ben Wormald, Cap 29.
To be honest with you, I've looked at the map at the start of the day and gone, oh, there's a town here. But apart from that, I haven't really, like, looked at it that much. I've heard there's a McDonald's somewhere along this route, and I think I know where it is. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm looking forward to that moment. I'm kind of like, I want it to be a sort of semi-surprise and just turn up at it and go, yes. I think I'm going to go there tomorrow. I think I'm going to see it tomorrow. So
that'd be the first one of the race.
Yeah, it will be, yeah.
Special moment.
Exactly, a special moment.
what's your order of choice?
I don't know what it is in France.
Beer.
Yeah, you can get beer, can't you? You get Heineken's, can't you? Might have a little non-alcoholic number. It goes down quite nicely. But yeah, I don't know what my order is actually. Just lots of food.
I've got time to think about it.
Yeah, I'll have a good think about that.
Should be your number one priority.
Number one priority.
So we've been following riders coming through Bagnères de Luchon on their way down from the Périssourde, on their way up to the Col de Monte. And we've just found Caroline Buckland. We followed her down increasingly smaller and smaller little streets until she went down a one-way street where we couldn't follow her, so we had to jump out of the car, me and Liz, and we've stalked her to a pizza place. Of course, it was either going to be accommodation or bike shop or some kind of food. So she's just in here ordering her pizza now, and we'll find out how her day has been going.
Went down, I think a lot of people did. I went down one of the cols last night at like midnight, and I just, like, it's so cold. I was just not enjoyable at all. It was like rain, wind, mist, couldn't see where you're going, just shaking because you're so cold. And then I didn't have anywhere to stay, so I haven't slept very well. It's really difficult to get into the bit I love is the descending, and the descending at the moment is awful because it's just freezing, and it also means it's difficult to cycle through the night, so you're suddenly limited. So now I'm thinking about I didn't bring enough wet weather gear, really. I should have been more prepared.
You got the impression that other riders are struggling with the conditions as well?
Yeah, it's not just me. You kind of think it's just yourself, and then you speak to others. I've just seen Sophia, for instance. She's just going to go and find a hotel down the road, and she's hating the cold as well. So, yeah, certainly not just me. I think a lot of people are struggling. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm going really slowly on this. They're all going to go away and I'm going to be left behind. And actually then you'll see them around the corner again because they've had to stop and get food and get warm as well.
Evening now, and Jocelyn Roth arrives at the finish just after 6 p.m. to complete a superb performance and take fourth spot at TPR number 4. Race coordinator David Eyre has been there to greet all of our finishers so far.
We've been down at the finish line here in Girona over the past 24 hours now. We saw the first rider reach the finish line last night, Robin Gemperla, coming in under 5 days, covering just shy of 2,000 kilometres in the wee hours, and then closely followed by Anatole Naimi, who rolled in first thing this morning as well. The contrast between them was quite stark. Robin seemed really fresh. Quite clean overall, and was happy to sit and chat. Anatole was really tired, had to take a few micro naps on his way into the city this morning. We've also headed out back onto the Finnish parcours over the course of this evening, with some very varying weather to boot as well. And then within an hour and less than 30 kilometres away, we saw Fiona Kolbinger on her approach to that as well, where she was absolutely drenched. It was torrential rain, much colder there. And she seemed to be like having fashioned an extra waterproof device in the form of a bin bag as well to keep herself dry. So I think desperate times call for desperate measures perhaps. But she should be finished in the early hours of tomorrow as well. Looks well set to be the first woman to finish TPR number 4, which is fantastic, and we're hoping that we'll see Molly Weaver closely following her in tomorrow a little bit later in the day as well.
Finally, it's worth going back to Tom's conversation from this morning with Juan Miri, Cap 93. This is Juan's third TPR, which also means it's his third route through these magical mountains. Here, just about perfectly, Juan describes what makes the Trans-Pyrenees race so special.
What I really like is the idea that for us, it is one race and we talk about the Pyrenees as a whole. But at the same time, when you, during one day, you pass from one culture to another, and with people that they don't know each other and they have such a different culture. You are in Spain, we in Catalonia, then you pass through France and the architecture, the way of living, the way of thinking, the way of speaking, the way of seeing life, it is absolutely different. And then you pass again to Spain and you have the Basque, and then you pass again to France and there you have the Basque French, that they are kind of different. And all the different cultures that you see in one place, that for us is like a playground. Because it is, for me, it's the third time that I come here, and it is the Trans-Pyrenees, you see, and so it is like you see them as a whole, but they are absolutely not a whole. There are a lot of cultures, there are a lot of different colors, a lot of different. When I'm talking about colors, I'm talking about culture. I'm talking about the ways of living, and that sometimes you live it in one day on the bike, and that is amazing. It is different climate, it is different winds, it is different culture, it is different colors, it is, the scenery is different, just in one race. That's what I, sometimes people ask me, why do you keep on going to this race? It is, you suffer a lot, but that is, this is what I like. So I decided that maybe I will make some stages, I will leave the Pyrenees in a different way now.
So, congratulations again to Robin Gemperla for winning his second Lost Dot race of the year and for doing it in style. Join us in our next episode, where we expect to welcome the race's two fastest women into Girona. And of course, we'll also bring you more stories from the riders on the Raid Parkour. who are all hoping for a much drier, smoother chapter in their TPR adventure. Don't forget, you can read Stuart's daily race reports from the Road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.